14 amendments fill Tuesday's ballot. The Public Affairs Research Council provides a nonpartisan guide to each item. We continue to look at the proposals with the council's president, Robert Travis Scott. Amendment 5 has drawn some conversation, a call to eliminate the mandatory retirement age of 70 for judges. What does the language of this amendment tell us?
Right now, Louisiana is one of 32 states that have some form of mandatory retirement for judges in the state court system. And what this amendment would do is it would eliminate Louisiana's mandatory retirement age. Right now in Louisiana, if a judge turns 70, they can fill out their term. They don't have to retire at 70. They can fill out their term, but they can't run for re-election. And if you're 70 or over, you're unable to run for election. What this amendment would do is wipe out those mandatory restrictions entirely. And this is really a value judgment. You know, some people say, hey, the current law is age discrimination. We've got good judges with good experience. We ought to be able to let them continue to serve. You know, it's really up to the voters to decide. And those who would oppose this amendment would say, let's keep the mandatory age limit in place. We need to preserve the integrity of the court system, make sure our people are alert and at their very best, and also that this serves as a form of term limit.
Well, a property tax exemption for certain disabled veterans appears in a measure on the ballot. It reflects changes to a 2010 law. What does this seek to do?
This is Amendment Number 7. Basically, in 2010, they passed a special exemption on property taxes for disabled veterans. What they found out is through the Veterans Administration rules, a few people got left out in the process through a loophole in the way they classify them. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature has come back with this amendment to try to close that loophole. All disabled veterans under the various classifications would get this benefit.
Amendment 8 would protect funds for artificial reef development. How does this proposal seek to do that?
Well, the consideration is whether the Artificial Reef Development Fund is going to get protection in the Constitution and therefore be removed from the budget process that has taken place the last few years, in which the legislature and the governor's office have wanted to go in and just take money out of that fund to help pay for hospitals, health care, higher ed, whatever else in the budget, but not for the coastal development and reef development that is designated by this fund. It's just not protected in the Constitution, so it's vulnerable to raids for other purposes. And the people who are in favor of this amendment want it preserved in the Constitution and make it so that the money that goes into it will be spent properly. This is for oil and gas companies that have platforms offshore. They can pay into this fund for the privilege of taking those platforms and just cutting them off and putting them into a reef area. As we all know, these offshore platforms, if you go fishing, you know, those are good places to go fishing because they attract all kinds of sea life.
Well, a tax exemption and tax sale appear in items 9 and 10. What do you see in those items?
Item number 9 is simply a reporting requirement. Permanently disabled residents, if they meet certain income requirements, if they have income below a certain threshold, they are entitled to a freeze on their property assessments of their homes. All this amendment does is it says you don't have to go every year and prove that you meet the income requirements. Once you meet it, you meet it. That's really all that number 9 does.
And in number 10, regarding a tax sale.
Well, number 10 is a little bit related to number 3. It's really about the delinquent taxes on vacant, blighted, and abandoned property. And what this one does is it takes the existing redemption period that the local jurisdiction has to make before it can take a property and put it into a new owner's hands. That period now is 3 years, and this amendment would shorten that to 18 months. The people who are in favor of this say, hey, this is a great system for getting vacant properties back into productive use and on the tax rolls, and it helps reduce crime and unsightly neighborhoods. Those against it would say, hey, that we got to really protect these property owner rights from government seizure. So, you know, we need to move very cautiously when we start to take over property and accelerate the pace of doing that.
In an attempt to expand the number of state agencies, there is a proposal to create a Department of Elderly Affairs. What should voters weigh on this idea?
Well, Amendment Number 11 technically does not itself create the Department of Elderly Affairs. What it does is it changes the Constitution, which currently has a limit of only 20 state departments. That's the most departments the state can have. And this amendment would say now you can have 21. There's a statute waiting in the wings so that when this amendment, if it were to pass, this Elderly Affairs Department would take the number 21 slot. And the people in favor of it say we need to consolidate our efforts and our services and our funding streams for the elderly, put them into one department, and this will be good for that class of people. The others say no, all those services are being provided in a streamlined effort already in the Department of Health and Hospitals and in the governor's office and other agencies. You don't need to create a new department to create those services. And in fact, this may be even less efficient in the long run. So, it is possible that down the road, someone could decide, oh, we no longer want a Department of Elderly Services, but we still have 21 departments now, so let's just move elderly services into a different agency and create yet another state department. All this does is allow us to go from 20 to 21. Statutes in the future will determine whether the Elderly Affairs Department remains the 21st new department.
Well, the 14th item on the list addresses rebates, incentives, and abatements. Their introduction during the general session, is this an effort to perhaps help the legislative session run more efficiently?
Well, I think that's what the proponents, have in mind with this. Every 2 years, we have what's called a fiscal session, in which a lot of things can be heard in a fiscal session. But that is the session where the one type of session where you can take up tax reforms, tax increases. But tax rebates and incentives and abatements, these special tax privileges, have sometimes cropped up in the so-called general sessions. And I think some lawmakers said, look, let's just make sure these types of items just show up in a fiscal session so we can deal with all the tax issues in one type of section. These tax fiscal sessions happen in odd numbered years. And so that's what this amendment would do.
Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana President Robert Travis Scott. Robert, as you mentioned, only 3 minutes in the voting booth, a lot to consider with these 14 amendments. Thank you for your time and the information that you're providing through the Voter's Guide. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's parlouisiana.org. That's parlouisiana.org. You can see our guide there, and you can read it either in depth or just read it across the top and get the main idea of each amendment.